Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Today's topic is sugar and your mental health.
Most people associate sugar with physical health issues like obesity, but we need to talk about its effects on mental health too, which are just as significant.
That's right. Now, before we get into it, let's just first acknowledge that sugar is controversial. There's a lot of talk about how sugar is bad for you, but it's not all doom and gloom. Let's start with the potential positive impacts on mental health.
Sounds good, Rhonda. It's true that there are some positive effects. For starters, when we indulge in something sweet, it can lead to a temporary increase in serotonin levels, a neurotransmitter associated with mood regulation. It's like a quick mood boost.
And it's not just about mood, is it? Sugar provides a rapid energy source for the brain. Glucose, which comes from sugars, serve as the primary fuel and contributes to mental alertness and cognitive function.
Absolutely. And then there's the stress-reducing potential. Some studies suggest that consuming sugary foods can lead to a reduction in stress levels. This is attributed to multiple factors, including the release of endorphins, those feel-good chemicals that offer a sense of relaxation, and the activation of the reward centers of the brain, which increases our dopamine levels. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter associated with pleasure, and its activation may contribute to a positive mood and sense of well-being.
There are also studies that show that sugar intake might lead to a temporary reduction in cortisol, which is a hormone released during the body's stress response. The reduction in cortisol can help us feel more relaxed. This helps to provide at least one explanation for why many of us turn to sugary foods when we're stressed out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems the connection between sugary foods and stress response goes beyond just taste.
It does. Something we haven't talked about yet is how eating sweet foods is often associated with positive social and emotional experiences. I mean, people eat sweet foods together, which can provide comfort and a sense of connection.
That's so true. I don't think my family celebrates a single holiday without sugary foods on the table.
Yeah, same here. But now, let's shift our focus to the other side of the story. While we see that sugar may contribute to short-term stress reduction, there are also several ways in which sugar can harm our mental health. Where do you want to start, Aaron?
Let's start with the mood roller coaster. While that temporary increase in serotonin can lift our spirits, the subsequent crash might leave us feeling lower than before. It's the not-so-sweet aftermath of the sugar high.
Yikes. Not to mention the addictive potential. The surge of dopamine that we can get create a cycle of desire and consumption, potentially paving the way for addictive tendencies. In one study, researchers found that the sight of a milkshake activated the same reward centers in the brain as cocaine in people with addictive eating habits. It's a stark reminder of the power sugar can have on our neural pathways.
It is. Now, earlier we talked about how sugar may help to offer a momentary respite from stress, but it's a short-term effect, and turning to sugar to manage stress can lead to more harm than good. In fact, excessive sugar intake has been linked to increased risk of mood disorders, particularly depression.
And sugar has also been linked to anxiety, not as a direct cause, but it appears to worsen symptoms of anxiety and hinders the body's ability to cope with stress. And there's the effects on learning and memory, too.
That's right. We're seeing more evidence in the research literature that habitual sugar intake is associated with cognitive impairment.
Okay. Time for the elephant in the room. We like sugar. Right? I have a sweet tooth. Aaron, you do too. I know that. I'm willing to bet that's true for a lot of people listening as well. And it might not just be that it tastes good, right? There's social and emotional experience we may have with it. Plus, it's just everywhere. It's ingrained in so many aspects of our culture and daily lives. So what do we do?
Well, it's not about eliminating sugar entirely, but finding that balance. I indulge in my favorite sweets occasionally, but I try to be mindful of my overall intake. It's not about saying no to sugar forever. It's about saying yes in a way that aligns with a healthy lifestyle.
That's a great approach.
Speaking of being mindful, I do find that engaging in mindful eating helps. This involves being fully present and aware during the eating experience, savoring it, and not just mindlessly consuming.
I like that. Turning a moment of indulgence into a mindful experience, appreciating the textures, flavors, and the joy it brings without overindulging.
Yeah, exactly. And how about you, Rondi? What do you recommend?
One thing that works for me is not keeping tempting sweets at home. If they're not readily available, I'm less likely to indulge mindlessly. I also try to find alternatives. Let's say you have a penchant for chocolate. Then maybe explore dark chocolate options with higher cocoa content. It's a small change, but small changes can add up to make a big difference.
Exactly. Another strategy is understanding our triggers. Recognizing the emotional connections to sugar helps us address the root of the craving, whether it's stress, boredom, or celebration.
That's spot on, Aaron. Now, if we're reaching for that sugary pick-me-up during stressful times, maybe we can explore healthier stress management techniques. It's not just about changing our relationship with sugar, but with stress too.
We should also mention that reading labels can help. Sugar hides in so many unexpected places, and educating ourselves about where sugar lurks can empower us to make more informed decisions about what to put on the grocery list.
Naturally occurring sugars found in fruits, vegetables, and dairy products are generally not a concern, but the current dietary guidelines for Americans recommends limiting added sugars to less than 10% of calories per day.
And of course, a support system can also help too. Having someone to share the journey to a lower sugar diet with you, like a friend or family member, makes it less of a solo mission. There's strength in community.
So seek to make informed choices and find what works best for you. Let's be realistic. We're not perfect. There will be days when that slice of cake is just too tempting, and that's okay. It's about the overall pattern and progress.
Well said, man. It's not about perfection. It's about finding a sustainable and enjoyable balance. And as always, it's a good idea to consult with a healthcare professional or a registered dietitian to determine the most appropriate plan based on your individual health needs and goals.
And that's a wrap.
There you have it, folks. Our sugar-coated expedition through the labyrinth of sweet science and mental musings. We hope you found this to be as much of a treat as we have.
Remember, sugar highs are temporary, but the joy of a good podcast lasts forever.
That's right. Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.